This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully, with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery, just like Leicester City this season. So the only thing left to say is, you win. Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered too. So that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants, 18 plus. Rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
You are watching Leicester Till I Die TV.
Till I die.
Good evening, good day, good morning, good afternoon, good night, goodbye. Hello, welcome along. It is Thursday, it is 7 o'clock. It isn't Cracker Jack, but it is the preview show. It's first versus second. We've heard that before this season, haven't we? Sky Guy here says he can't wait to be at Elland Road for this match. Leeds, as he says here, are in remarkable form. They have stormed into second place off the back of 8 straight wins, conceding just 1 goal in that run. And they have the chance to turn the screw and try and make a bit of a break from Ipswich and Southampton, who obviously lost midweek to Hull. Leicester still have a big gap, but that could start to look a little smaller if they are beaten here. They lost to Leeds in the reverse fixture. Thanks for reminding us, guys. And are coming off the back of a defeat at home to Middlesbrough. Will they be feeling a bit nervy? It's the Pope Catholic. I don't know about you. How squeaky are your bums? I'm asking for a friend, but I can't name that friend for legal reasons. This is Leicester Till I Die TV. It's the preview show. Good evening.
Chris does it 3 hours a day.
Want to do it again?
5 days a week.
Oh, yes.
Just for you.
I love it.
On the Golden Breakfast Show.
This is Surrey Hills Radio.
The TalkSport Fan Network is the ultimate on-demand destination for the UK's best fan-led football podcasts.
Including Leicester Till I Die. Independent analysis and reaction for the Foxes faithful.
The TalkSport Fan Network.
Unbeatable club-dedicated content created by the fans for the fans.
Follow the podcast on the TalkSport Fan Network.
Well, good evening, gentlemen. We've got a Craig and we've got a Carl in, hopefully, and we have tested him. So he is working. Carl, welcome back to the channel. You can see what you're doing because you've got new glasses and we can hear you because you've got your microphone working.
Absolutely. And I've also got a new Lee shirt that came today as well. So actually,
if you've got money to waste,
I do have money to waste, but at least I'm spending money on the right things. This was actually on offer, so technically I got it for a good price.
I can't say anything because I am going to be buying this season's blue shirt at the end of the season when it goes on offer. Craig, how the devil are you, sir? Thank you so much for what you did during the week. Really do appreciate that. And my son sends a big thank you as well. Is your bum squeaky?
Again, I'd rather not say because... You know, you're just opening up yourself to getting loads of stuff on Twitter, and I'd rather not get that kind of stuff. But what I would say is it's all getting a little bit nervy. And, you know, again, the flip side, you know, if you'd have said at the start of the season, you know, with like 13 games to go, we'd have a 9-point lead, we'd have all snatched your hand off. It all, from looking behind you, the chasing pack, though, it's all getting a little bit...
closing up a little bit, isn't it? I mean, Carl, had you had a decent start to the season, who knows where you could be now?
Yeah, 100% agree with that. We didn't know what was going on because we didn't know who was going to come in and out of the club. So it was a bit of a tough time, especially when the takeover was not full. It was done, but it was not done. And trying to get Danny Farkett in later than we imagined. But end of the day, right, I think... You know, we had the first half of the season. We knew we were going to have to get used to him playing back a system. Took a bit of time. We had those woeful defeats at Preston when we just lost it. You know, even to Birmingham at the start of the season. Drew gets Cardiff. But I think since the start of 2024, he's found a team now that's not changed as much and sticks and a bit more pressing and actually really done well defending. So we've now seen the Leeds side, which I think this Leeds side has done better than the two seasons of Bielsa, more points as we have done, a little bit more goals scored, similar goals conceded, but maybe a little bit less when we compare to Bielsa. But we have been more winning more games than we did on Bielsa the first two seasons. So it's not a surprise that it's taken long, but with 2024, it was just starting to get things gearing up. He's got his team now.
Craig, we are not going into this as favourites. Leeds are favourites.
I know. It's an unusual position for us to be in, but Leeds form, I don't think you've lost this year, if I'm rightly.
Not lost this year, and we're not lost at home. We're the only team in the 92 that's still not lost at home.
But, you know, these records are there to be taken. As I said, I think in the preview to our Middlesbrough game, when you asked me, Chris, if I was worried, and I was saying that, no, not really. I was fairly confident. The only thing that worried me was that there's always a team that does the double over you. And they did. So now I'm hoping that there's always a team that beats you at home. And I'm hoping it's us this time.
Well, let's have a look. Because last time we looked at the two managers. Just at the one manager. I want to look at both managers at the moment. And I think this is one of the reasons why Leeds are probably a little bit of favourites as well, Carl. I mean, you look at Daniel and you compare him to Enzo. Daniel is a lot more experienced when it comes to this league and being a manager.
Yeah, very much so. You look what he did at Norwich, winning, you know, two titles, and it just shows you he's got the experience. And I've always liked Farkestad. They always turned their best, always in the second half of the season when he was at Norwich. They just score goals for fun, left, right, and centre. And they were very, very defence robust at the back four. It just shows you what he's doing out Leeds. He's got experience. And the first thing for Enzo, I got to give credit to, you know, we didn't know what you guys were going to expect and how you were going to play. But you start so well, you know. And, listen, the situation, what happened with one of the sensei from Inter, that the deal did not go through. I was like, bloody hell, that was just a bit of a mess. And I thought he was going to walk away if he did sell one of your players.
Apparently, he's actually now, I've heard the rumour, and I don't know how true, and I've got to say thank you to Scott for sending me this, He is out for the rest of the season injured.
So he's having an operation on his ankle that's been troubling him for some time. So maybe we dodged the bullet there. But I mean, we definitely dodged the bullet there. I mean, Daniel Farker, as you said, has done a great job. I guess the only downside for you is that he's a fantastic manager to get teams up, and he's a really great manager at bringing them back down again. So that's the only downside for you guys.
I can agree to that. I think at Norwich, for the reason, I don't think he had enough resources to try to beat the rebuild the Norwich teams that he had, and I think he struggled. I think this release, because of the 49ers enterprises, I think their net worth value is about £7-8 billion net worth. So they got the money, and they will build. And some of the players will come back from the loan themselves. We'll sell them off anyway because I don't think they're good enough. The players that was, you know, like Christensen, Harrison, I don't think they'll be good enough. I can't get back to the team. Harrison, will he stay at Everton? Depends on how, if Everton stays up, they have to pay his permanent, buy him on a permanent contract, for what I've heard. So it is a bit like we have got the resources, the money, and I think we've got the structure there with the ownership and the board. So I think it just, as long as he gets the right players that he wants, I think we'll hopefully, if he does get a promotion, he'll get backed properly this time. Depending on the last two seasons, I don't know if he did get backed properly.
And the key for both clubs is hanging on to those best players as well, because we know that, you know, vultures will be circling. You know, whether we go up or not, they're still going to be attracting a lot of interest from the rest of the Premier League.
Yeah, absolutely.
And Craig, I mean, Enzo, we're going to see what he's made of now, aren't we? Because we were flying better when we lost against Middlesbrough and Leeds earlier in the season. I just think he showed, you know, and he is still a manager that's learning. He's only been a manager for, 30-odd games that we've played, apart from, like, I think you said the other day, the small foray into Serie A. But, you know, he got it right in some ways against Middlesbrough, because I think he saw the players that were absolutely off form, but he just changed like for like. He didn't actually change the formation at all. It's a learning curve for him, isn't it? But this is, we'll see what he's made of in this game.
Yeah, I think overall the performance against Middlesbrough wasn't bad. You know, we had 24 goal attempts on another day. We're going to be scoring more than one goal. It was just, you know, one of them days, sadly, that you get it. But what it did show as well, he's not afraid to replace players if he doesn't think that they're doing the job that they've been asked to do. You know, he's not keeping them on for 80 minutes, knowing full well that they've been playing shocking for the last hour. You know, and there is no... there's no safe place for anyone. You know, people who you think, well, he'll never take him off, and he does. So I think he doesn't suffer people who let their levels drop, and I think that's encouraging as long as he can keep them all on side, you know. And it'll be interesting to see how we bounce back tomorrow night.
It will indeed. And I have, for the first time ever, can you still see me?
Yes. Yep.
Yeah, I disappeared on my screen. I think it was just my end. And I've never seen for a long time a game between two teams where their current form is that close. And like I say, I think that highlights Cole. If only you'd had a better start, it could be you that are in first and us that are in second.
Yeah, 100% agree. As for looking at the form, the games were lost, was tough. And I think we just didn't know. I think Barker was not doing much. Substitution wise, he's putting too much attackers on, and that was not helping with us in the game. And I think now he's now using substitutions at the right time, at a perfect spot where it's needed, and it's keeping our formation in shape as well. So I think now, if we did have a better start and got the players in, maybe we would have been above you guys, just about running away with it. But we had that tough start. We knew that things needed to improve, and we had to, and it was the only way. You know, some of the Leeds fans at the time during the first half season wanted him to go. I'd be like, listen, we've got the player, you need to trust him, trust the players, they will get better, takes time. It takes time to get the right tactics and the right team players to play, the right level to play. And he has done that. You know, he's bringing players like Bamford back, who was told that he was supposed to leave by January. He was not part of the squad. He comes back in, and he's made a difference. Junior Firpo was supposed to leave as well. He's probably been one of our good, decent right left backs in our squad, left back in the squad, but in a good place this season. So he's trusted the players that were fought right. They were not good enough. Were supposed to go, but now they trust him again. And Bamford has redeemed his form back. And Firpo has as well too. You know, in a stabilised back four with Apadu and Rodon, and also with Archie Gray on the right hand side.
I'm going to ask you this first, Craig, and then I'll ask the same question to Carl. I mean, look, I want to win the league. I want to get the most points and crack the record. But at the end of the day, if we come in second and still go up and we've avoided the playoffs, which we all know it can just go either way. All right, we may not have won, but we've got promoted. That's the goal at the end of the day, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. I'm
on the cake, really.
Yeah, I know. I think on recent weeks you've been going on about how much you do want that record, and you know, to win the title. So we're ahead of Man City, who we share it with at the minute. But I think I've been pretty much on all of that would be nice. But at the end of the day, you just want to get promoted, and we know that the playoffs can be a lottery. We've been there enough times to know how that can go. Not always your way. So getting over the line and just being in that top two is a key thing. And I know when it looked like us and Ipswich had a bit of a gap, it was always, we don't care what Ipswich do. You know, if they win, that's fine. It was about Leeds and Southampton not winning. So you had that gap to third, and we had quite a comfortable gap to third for a while. But top two is more than enough for me. Anything else is, as you say, the icing on the cake.
If it ended now, Carl, with Leeds in second, would you be happy?
I would be 100% happy. If we dropped down to the playoff, one of those teams who missed out on the promotion are going to be deflated. They're going to be demotivated and won't go into that playoff run if that happened to either to us, Southampton, or Ipswich. It's going to be deflated because they have the most points, but does it get you to finish in the top? And I think that's why I think both Barker and even Kieran McKenna as well and Russell Martin need to prepare our teams to make sure if one of us don't finish in the top two, we need to prepare for the playoffs, because that's another case. We have to play three more extra games to get to the Premier League. So I think they need to prepare for the worst possible outcome between now and the season of what is going to happen when results will go up and down about it. They have to prepare for the worst outcome to make sure the players are ready.
Tony's just said in, I'm guessing Tony is a Leeds fan. Archie is potentially world-class. If we don't go up, I fear the worst. If you don't go up, Leeds, this season, and again, I'll put the same question to Craig in a second, but if Leeds don't go up, I mean, is it panic? Or is it, well, all right, let's go again next season?
I think the ball is more is not going to panic. They have said that. What we are, I think, before I hear from good news about Somerville's future, he will not leave, regardless if the team doesn't go out. Nonto will hopefully sign his new deal. So most of those players were there. Actually, they did sign a new deal, so he's extended for a bit. I don't know if there's a release clause yet. We'll know later on if we don't go up. But I think we got most of the players in common. The players that were left on loan, it did save us a lot of money for paying the wages. And we were able to sell them as well too, because some of the clubs have obligation to buy those players. So we have got, so we have enough money, and especially from the parachute payments as well, to cover that cracks. So hopefully we could go run again if we miss out. But I think there's not going to be no panic. I think this time the 49ers are well prepared. What's the best and the worst outcome towards the end of the season?
For Leicester, Craig, I mean, if we don't go up, there's going to be an exodus, I think. We might not be able to sign who we want to sign. We know that one player is, I think, particularly, which you have to if we go up. But we'll lose, I think, a lot of players. Would we potentially lose Enzo?
I don't think so. I think he would stay because he would think he hasn't done the job that he was brought in to do. And I would think that he would want to do that because otherwise he's got another failure on his managerial CV. So I don't think he would. I think there'll be a few of the players would get their heads turned. I don't believe any player who comes out at this stage of the season and says, it doesn't matter, I'll still be there next season. I don't believe any of them. Because if a big enough clump comes for you, you're not going to stay in the Championship, you know. Yeah. So, you know, I know it, a lot of it's lip service and they want to, you know, say the right thing to the fans and make sure that the fans know that everybody's pulling in the right direction. And so I don't blame them for saying it, but I wouldn't believe any of them. But we'll definitely lose a few, definitely.
KDH,
I think the goalkeeper would be looked at as well. I mean, every team in the Premier League wants somebody who's good at with the ball at the feet, and he's been fantastic. So I think he'll be much sought after as well. You know, we've obviously got Mavididi, so someone could come in for him. But whether we would still get Fatawu, people have seen how well he's played. Yeah, and you know, I think we've got an obligation if we go up. So. I think it'd be tough. I think it would be tough. But I think of all of them, I would expect the managers to stick around.
Just stick with you for a second then, Craig, because you mentioned Fatawu there, Fatawu, however you pronounce it. Yeah. And, you know, he seems to sort of be saying, again, all the right things. But, look, you know, so much of what player says these days, unless you're KDH, is sort of PR written by the club. You know, KDH still waiting to see Coventry at the end of the season, obviously. But, you know, do we, like I say, you know, Fatawu said he's loving it here. Winks has come out today and said, I want to get back into the England squad.
Right.
Okay. I mean, you know, could he? I can't see it happening, to be honest with you. But look, you know, on the form that he's been in, and I don't know what it's like in the Premier League because I haven't really watched it this season.
Well, I mean, anyone who has three decent games in the Premier League is being touted as being back in the squad, you know.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous, you know, the players that they think are going to get in the squad. You know, sadly, he's miles off it and he's never going to get in while he's playing in the Championship. And even if he's playing for us in the Premier League, there's little chance of him getting in because he's playing for Leicester and not one of the so-called big clubs. So, but... great to have that ambition still, you know, and I think he's a player who feels like he's got unfinished business that he didn't have, wasn't treated the best necessarily back at Spurs, you know. Yep. And it's very often, isn't it? It's the homegrown talent that are the ones who are pushed aside.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, they're the easiest ones to blame when things are not going well. Oh, he's just come up through the ranks. We haven't paid, you know, multi-millions for them. So we can just shove him down back onto the bench on a regular basis. And a lot of those players disappear. So good for him, you know. And it's great to hear that he's enjoying it and he's really enjoying it playing under Enzo as well.
Yeah. I mean, look, this is why it is so tight. Look at that form. I mean, Leeds, you've won 5 out of 5. And on home form alone, you are top of the league. Your favourites going in. A lot of Leeds fans that I'm seeing loved coming on to our show, not live, but into the chat afterwards in the comments. Very confident. I'd be interested to go back to some of those comments if you don't beat us, Carl.
You said that to me. You said that to me the other night about that. I'm like, yeah, what if that come back to haunt me? I don't think it will as much. I think no matter what, we always go very confident. I think this is the most confident we've ever been for a while. So for a while in the last few games, we've been very confident when we go into games, and we're just like we'd be like bloody Brazil again. You know, we're just going to concede one goal, which is a surprise because a lot of my friends said, "Oh, your defensive back four is a bit woeful, it can be shaken." But it hasn't been if you got Rodon and Ampadu in the back two, stalwart in that defence. So I wouldn't worry about that one.
Yeah. Look, five games, 5 wins, 1 goal conceded, 14 scored. And I'll say the same again to Craig in a second. you know, you've played Plymouth twice. I think that 4-1 was the FA Cup.
Yeah.
Because I watched that, and to be honest with you, in fairness, Plymouth were unlucky. They ran out of steam. And I don't get me wrong, I'm not saying you didn't deserve to win, because you won the game, fair play. You know, if Plymouth had won it, it would have very much been a smash and grab.
Yeah.
They gave you a game, a 4-1, that the commentator said it. That was probably a 2-1 game, to be fair to Plymouth.
I would agree with that one. Yeah, Plymouth did give a good money, and they just ran out of steam. Which, after extra time, we had a bit more advantage. We got a bit more advantage in the extra time. And I thought, I might agree it could be the 2-1 because they gave us a goal in the home game before it took to the replay. So for that matter, it is, yeah, it's not surprising how wide Plymouth have been, probably why they've conceded to be one of the, not one of the bad teams, but they've really been conceded more like a relegation team, but scored goals like a top 14. So, you know, you can see why, how much they were really giving us run for their money in that replay.
And Craig, I mean, Leicester City dropped down to third on the away form, dropped down to third as if that's relegation form. Look, we lost to Middlesbrough. It was, for me, that was our worst performance of the season so far.
You think?
I think so, yes.
Okay.
I thought we were awful. We couldn't pass wind. You know, I mean, it was like watching myself play FIFA. You know, when you're trying to control your player, and instead of running, you know, you're playing with him, and he runs off the pitch to the right, to the left, and you're thinking like, no, I wanted to run to the goal. That was what I was watching. I think Brad gave KDH 2 out of 10 on his match ratings. He was awful. Players were just passing it out. They were playing it, and I can't even say that they didn't know that Leicester weren't playing in blue. They didn't even find a player playing in white that Middlesbrough were on the night. They were just passing. From the TV, it looked absolutely shocking.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because I didn't think we played particularly well either. We were worse against, I think it was Swansea in the second half, after we'd absolutely battered them. We were worse. We were just off it. We had too many players who were just off it. Yet we still ended up with 24 goal attempts. So, you know, we were doing something wrong. We were getting into the right areas, but our shooting was off, our last pass was off.
24 goal attempts, you're right, one on target. That is not championship-winning form.
No, I didn't say it was, Chris. What I said was that we weren't doing everything bad. We're still creating 24 chances in a game where we're playing really poor, you know, against a team who are decent as well. So,
I mean, nothing, take nothing away from Middlesbrough.
Yeah.
You know,
but no, we were just off it. And we know, we've said it before, you only need to drop your levels by sort of 10%. And that's enough. You know, that's enough for you to lose a game. Mm. And there were, and I think it was the first time, I was saying to Scott, it was the first time I thought we looked a little bit scrappy. We had players out of position, you know, in Enzo. I think Enzo got frustrated that there were too many players who were having an off day, and he didn't have the like for like. So players were playing out of position. Tom Cannon on the left hand side, you know, didn't really work for me.
I thought Roy Hodgson had left hospital and taken over for the game.
Yeah, he looked a little bit
on the left wing. What?
Yeah, I think the idea was to try and get more people in the box, because Mavididi wasn't getting in the box. Fatawu didn't surprise me when he came off, because he had a lot of the ball, but his crossing, everything was just off, you know. And but you hope that they've put that one to bed. The encouraging thing was that was the most Jamie Vardy-like goal I think he's scored all season, racing in between two defenders and slotting it away.
If we played like that last 10 minutes for the previous 80.
Well, I think it's going to be interesting. Yeah, and I think that's our best chance, you know, that we've got three pretty quick strikers against a Leeds team who are going to push on. And they can't, correct me if I'm wrong, Carl, but I don't think you guys can do anything other than come forward. So I think it's how quickly we can transition and play through you when we turn the ball over that is going to be key to it.
Yeah, I could agree with that. It depends, you know, because we're not being tested a lot recently. And I think this is going to be tested time, how this back four is going to be against three of your quickest players up front tomorrow night. It's going to be interesting. We know Archie Gray is not a right back, but because Conor Robert has come in, I don't think he's going to have game time yet. I don't think he will be slotted in soon. He's just getting the full fitness as well. And I think, especially Ampadu, is now the captain that he controls. What we can say is about Firpo. The one thing he has to do is, if you put Firpo on his weaker foot, he'll make the mistake. And that is something that we need to be very careful of. And I think Mezier, you know, I think last couple few games after that sent it off, his decisions making has been a little bit more better. But he still had that odd worry that he could do something, a really simple mistake that will cost our goal or something. So, you know, this team, the back four and the goalkeeper needs to be on point tomorrow and get the communication right to make sure that it is, you know, where how we played against you guys last time. It could be that again, how we have to get a single goal to win. I don't think it's going to be all goals blazing. I don't, we might do, but I just don't think it might be. So we have to be very careful how we defend tomorrow night for the first 5-10 minutes, and then we see how we counter that.
Craig, last season you very much said that Brendan Rodgers would die on the cross that was Harvey Barnes. I'm just wondering if Enzo could do that with Kieran Dewsbury-Hall.
I think our top goal scorer and top assist guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not sure. I think that would be harsh. saying that he's not worthy of his place.
Purely because he had the worst game, in my opinion, the other night. I mean,
I think he had the worst game. Sorry, Chris. Yeah, I think he had the worst game based on the levels that he set. And, you know, but I think if you're turning in double figures of goals and assists from midfield, you're not having a bad season. And I think there are similarities with Harvey Barnes in that you know that he can do more. You know, he has got more in him. But I think he comes across as one of those guys who knows when he's not played that well, that he's let his own levels drop. And I would imagine there's going to be quite a few who are looking to put that right on Friday night.
At the start of the season, Craig, we noticed there was a lot of changes, subtle changes, one player or two players every game, you know, and those that played 60 would play, you know, would play only play 30 the next game and swapping it around like that. And we couldn't really necessarily guess the team, but once we got into the season and got going, it was the same team week in, week out. Now, we've literally, what game week is it tomorrow? 34. So we've nearly played a Premier League season already, and we've still got a quarter to go. Is he changing it up enough? I guess this is what I'm getting at with Kieran Dewsbury-Hall. Yeah. He looked like he was running in mud to me, you know, and he looked knackered, in fairness. And should, you know, is he relying on the same players all the time when it's two games a week? We've got a game on Tuesday.
Yeah. I would look at who you would replace him with. I think, you know, I think he'd have more option if indeed he was fit. I think he'd have more option to give him a rest. I'm not sure there's any natural player who can do that same role. It's not like we've got Ayoze Perez anymore, is it, Chris?
don't go there.
I'm not sure. This is the thing. When you look at that team, really, apart from whoever plays central striker, that team is pretty much picking itself at the moment. I think Dennis Pratt has done really well the last few games. He
man of the match the other night.
Yeah, he is learning what Enzo wants from him. And I think you see the similarities between the way that he's playing and the way that he'd got Ndidi playing, making those little runs into the channels and cutting the ball back from the byline. So I think Dennis is learning that. But I'm not sure anyone else is at the level of Kiernan when he's on it. Eunice just looks a little bit lost. I don't think he's has the same levels of confidence. I think if Eunice was a really confident player, then he could take some of these games by the scruff of the neck. But I don't think he's got that in him, sadly.
This is going to be the same question to both of you. Carl first. So you've got Leeds are playing Leicester tomorrow night. You've got an extra day's rest, and I think you'll probably need it because you're away at Chelsea in the FA Cup on Wednesday. Looking at that, and I'll ask you the same question in a second, Craig, the Friday night game, I'm presuming, is the more important one to you. Or is it?
It's a good question, actually. I would have said to you, with Chelsea's on form, and someone was actually, and it was Michael Bowers the other day, who asked me that. I think we'll talk about this on Ant's Leicester channel. He did say, I think you reckon you can beat Chelsea with their form. I said, you might be right, you know. So it's a hard one. It's a hard one. I think we're not looking at Chelsea at the moment because that's still till next Wednesday. We need to focus on this game tomorrow night. And then I think after that, you know, if we do get the win, we can turn attention to Chelsea because we know where Chelsea's weaknesses are and they're being really woeful because they don't ever have a stabilised back 11 team and a team that is not Pochettino's team. So I wouldn't worry about that too much because, you know, Farke might have something in that because, you know, we'll focus on getting through this result tomorrow night as well as part. We'll just see how the players are after Saturday. And then we might have a bit of a change in that squad for the 11th for Wednesday's game. Not too much, but there's a bit of a change to see who could play on Wednesday, and especially the players who will be coming back for fit, you know, especially like Bamford, you know, if he can.
You would be surprised if players were dropped against Leicester to save them for Chelsea, I'm guessing.
I would be surprised, but I don't think it will happen because I think Farke knows he needs to put his strongest 11 for both for tomorrow's game. And then whatever strong 11 it is, in terms of fitness-wise, he will choose that against Chelsea.
And Craig, we've got Bournemouth, as you very well know, and thank you very much for what you did. I'm quite interested in that game, A, because I'm actually going, but B, because we played Liverpool. We played two Premier League teams this season in competitive matches. Mm-hmm. Liverpool in the Carabao Cup, and we lost, I think it was 3-1, wasn't it? But we gave a good account of ourselves. The second goal was a worldie, and the third one went in off the post, so it could have gone either way. So we didn't lose embarrassingly, but in fairness, Liverpool away, even, you know, if we were in the Premier League, it's probably not a game currently we would expect to be coming away with much. Bournemouth away, it's probably a game that will show us how far we've come, because it is a game potentially we could win. Mm-hmm. But again, and I know everybody says, well, it's, you know, there's next game, and Adele said here, I'd rather focus on tomorrow's game, blah, blah. Yes, of course. Again, that's the same stuff that comes out all the time. But it's got to be there at the back of your mind. Win against Chelsea, but win against Bournemouth. We're in the quarterfinals of the FA Cup. And I've always said, like, yeah, no, priority is the, you know, the number one goal. Now, I'm starting to think, wow, quarterfinals, you know, wow. He's got to sort of say, and I hope he doesn't put the team out. I think that's what I'm trying to get at, is I hope he doesn't put the team out that started against Birmingham.
What, tomorrow or against Bournemouth?
No, against Bournemouth.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Away days are great, but when you can't play away, there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus. Serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
I think it will depend on how tomorrow's result goes, to be honest. I think if we get beat, there's every chance that he will not risk players against Bournemouth and he'll save them for the league, because we're... If we get a good result against Leeds, I think he will allow those players to go up against Bournemouth and test themselves against a Premier League team. I think that's how I'd see it, to be honest. If you come back off on the back of a good result against Leeds, you can take that momentum in to it and, you know, prove to the players that they do belong in the Premier League. You know, test yourself again 3 months, 4 months on from the Liverpool game. You know, let's see how much we have progressed. But a loss against Leeds, and I think he'll be protecting them for the next league game.
Right. I hate to do this. I don't hate it for Craig, because Craig will say, I hate it for Craig, but I think Carl will be happy to talk about this game again. After the game, we had, again, a lot of Leeds fans on, you know, so they're coming for us. And it took you a while, but in fairness, you probably are now. Coming for us. Memories of that game, Cole?
Yeah, really good game from both sides. Really was. And, you know, a lot of good chances as well. I think Messi had a very good game against you guys. And you hit the crossbar about once or twice, the woodwork once or twice as well, to try to score. It was close. But from the corner, you know, in a 6 yard box, to tap it in. Yeah, it was a really good game, a really good defence as well. We were still trying to figure out our 11, but I think that was a good game. You know, to become the player that we paid a lot of money for. You know, after he struggled last season, he has become what his player was looking for. So, yeah, it was just fine figuring out a team, thinking, okay, we can start, but we had those setbacks results. But that was the most important game for us to try to kickstart a season. It really was. And I have to say, it could have been 0-0 towards the end, but Leeds had a bit of a better more possession and more chances.
What was it? Correct me if I'm wrong. Did Harrison set the goal up?
It wasn't Harrison. It was... No, because Harrison's got... I think it was who's taking the corner. It might have been either Byram.
I read somewhere, sorry.
Sam Byron took that corner, yeah. So
would have been a little bit annoying as we nearly bought him. But I'm guessing you were there, Craig.
I was.
Your memories?
To be honest, I've not got a lot of memories because I think it was a pretty even game. But it's one of about half a dozen similar goals we've conceded. You know, not clearing a corner and it just dropping to the opposition. It was noticeable in the Middlesbrough game, the number of times the ball just dropped in a box and not once did it drop to us for a easy tap in. But we've given about half a dozen goals away similar to that. And I think the ball just dropped to him and he couldn't really miss. But I don't think there was a lot in between the teams even back then. So, and I'm not expecting much different now, to be honest.
Was it the turning point for your season, Cole?
It kind of was, in a way, because we were slow at the start of the season, like we said, that for the form that we started. So it was the turning point, but we kept thinking, but we did, our heads did drop down a bit after the certain losses that we had. We were so behind with so many points. I just think now, you know, this could be those key moments of the season, that how the tides turn a little bit, but who's catching it for the top four, because everyone was still thinking Leeds would not make it after our current form we had at the time before we beat you guys. So the form, it has been a huge turnaround, thinking, oh, we don't think we'll get to the playoffs. But we're now thinking, no, we can actually catch the top two.
It's interesting. Until Southampton lost to Hull midweek, it was Leicester first, Leeds second, Southampton third, which was the order we came down in. I don't know how that could be the order that the season could end in. Ipswich won't go away. I did go to see Jeff Stelling earlier in the season. I had two Ipswich fans sat in front of me, and I did say to them, that's the last time you'll be in front of us all season. And it does look like I could actually be correct on that. But look, those top four, Craig, they're pretty much done and dusted, isn't it? I mean, barring a collapse, they, you know, teams are playing for the fifth and sixth, and that seems to change every week.
Yeah, I think they're all bunching up below, but I can't see anybody making any inroads into that top four now, to be honest. Mm-hmm. You know, just when you think someone like a West Brom is going to make a run, they then go and drop points. Yeah, I don't think anyone else has got the consistency that the top four have. It's no. been a sort of extraordinary season, hasn't it? You know, that I think...
the prediction league.
Yeah, well, yeah. But I think... what was it? Something like only 10 teams in the past had been on this number of points after this number of games, and now we've got four teams are doing it. It's just ridiculous. You know, we all thought it was going to be one of those teams which leagues which was much more unpredictable, and teams would drop more points than they actually have. But it just shows you that the quality of those teams. The three that came down obviously managing to keep most of their players. Obviously, we did lose, you know, two or three big names. And then Ipswich keeping the momentum of a team that had just won promotion. So, it's top four and it's just battle it out. And at least one of you is going to be really, really sad and crying all summer.
Yeah, as long as it's not Leicester. Yeah. Sorry, Cole. You say about us, you know, I mean, I don't think we lost anybody we didn't expect to lose. I mean, those that we let go were pretty much ones that we needed to get off the wage bill.
Yeah.
And the contracts had run out anyway. And the two that we sold four, but the two big ones that we sold, we got good money for.
Yeah, I think Barnes and Madison, and I think, you know, we probably could have held out to try and get a bit more money, but doing those transfers early, getting the manager in early, enabled him to spend and get the players in that he wanted. It allowed us to go and get Winks. And I mean, we've not even spoken this season much about Connor Cody. You know, we've got an ex-international, England international player, experienced Premier League player who can't get near the team at the moment. So it'd be interesting whether, you know, when it gets nearer the running, whether that experience is brought into the team a little bit more.
I think we might see him on Tuesday.
But no, you're right. Yeah, we got rid of those players, and we got rid of them early to bring in the money to bring in the players that we wanted. So I think, you know, we do get a lot of stick. Our the people who run the club do get a lot of stick, but I think they had a very good summer.
Yes, they did. They did. And Carl, I think I read somewhere earlier, you've got 11 players out on loan at the moment.
Yeah, so we know that Robin Koch is leaving at the end of the season. That has been confirmed. He has agreed a permanent move now back to Germany, so that has been confirmed. Sinciera is now joined Bournemouth on a permanent deal. That was announced last week. So we still have Mats Werber, Robin Christiansen, Brendan Harrison, Mark Rocker, and Jack Harrison. Those are probably the key players. So we don't know what's going to happen to them in the summer. That will be a decision for Daniel Farke what to do if they can slot back into this current Leeds team, questionably. For that matter, it did save us about £60-70 million in wages because we did sign some of the players on the big long-term contracts. So that was huge. But just remember, Southampton was the biggest turnover because they sold about over £150 million of players, £200 million. And they did well to keep most of that squad as well. So, you know, it's surprising how three of our teams have kept most of the players. Some of where the key big ones go, but we've kept that core of the squad that was the team that we went down with.
Yeah. Right. Let's move on again back to the match tomorrow night. Carl, come to you first of all. Talk through sort of, again, you know, what your formation tactics is going to be as a Leeds team and your main player threats. And then the same will go over to Craig.
Yeah, it'll be usual 4-2-3-1. Mezier in goal, Gray on the right back, Rod and Ampadu in the back, in the centre-back, and Firpo on the left, In the defence midfield, we'll have Griff and Kamara. I think Griff has been an influential influence in that squad as well. On the right attacking midfield side, we'll have Nonto, and behind will be Rutter, and on the left, Somerville, and up front, Perro. So that will be our formation. A player I think you have to come from is Willie Nonto. Has in the last few games, he has come to life in form with the recent goals that he scored, you know, the last three games. I think he's a threat because he can tap the right side. I think Somerville as well. Somerville's probably one of our top scorers of this top scorer for Leeds this season. And the way he can move around, that can just go left to right. It can move around, and his pace is phenomenal. And a lot of people, and he's a dangerous player. So you have to watch for those two attacking midfielders. But I think with Glenn Camara as well in the defensive, it's helped us get the defensive midfield that we've needed for a while. He's very solid. He's very experienced. Griff, £5 million from Werder Bremen, and he didn't get into the team much at the start of the season, but he's now created that good partnership up front. And Ampadu and Rodon have been the good centre-back. They play for Wales together, so they know each other. So, yeah, we got a few player threats in that lead side.
Bamford, is he likely to play? I've heard, again, you know, I think he's a bit of managerial Ferguson tactics going on here.
He's slowly getting back to fitness. We don't know if he'll be on the bench yet, so... But it might be because we got Geld out. We still got Jock Geld out as well, so we got a bit of cover there. But like I think he will be on the bench. I think Perro has redeemed his form a little bit after he had a bit of a mid-season slump. So he's now coming back to a bit of form. I think we'd be happy with the. But I think even Jado Anthony as well. You know, he's had to. He's been away due for brief reasons because his mum sadly passed away. So he hopefully will be back in the bench. You know, so but hopefully we've got those weapons up front. But like I said, we've got Cooper and Creswell on the bench, so it's not the end of the world. We've got players coming back as well, such as Strike. He's still recovering, but he's only more slow on his way back. But the long-term absentee at the moment is still Stuart Dallas, and I don't think he'd be a Leeds player towards any season. And I love him so much because he was versatile, but I think his career at Leeds is going to come to an end at the end of the season.
Do you think Bamford has this sort of effect on Leeds that Vardy does on Leicester? So, you know, if he's not starting, but he's coming on, the crowd, it gives the crowd a lift. Is that the sort of effect Bamford has on the team and the crowd?
Yeah, it has been. And because he's been starting games, he's been more loved by the fans again. It was a love-hate relationship. I think when he came on against Stoke, he missed that penalty. There was questions like, why is he back in the team? And I think Farker was just seeing, you know, he's just lost a lot of form. You know, he's lost a lot of confidence towards the last season. And I think we've seen him now when he's got back. He can hold up the ball now. We've seen those more better chances now with him than without him. Because when Pereira was not scoring, I think Bamford came to pick up the pieces. And I think he was in good form, was going in good form. The goal he scored against Peterborough, you know, was phenomenal in the FA Cup as well. It just shows that we still need someone like Bamford up front because we could have got another striker. But I think we still have trust in Bamford at the moment.
Craig, does Enzo say, you guys copped it up against Middlesbrough, go out and prove me wrong, you know, show the fans that you can do it again, or does he make changes?
I think it'll be pretty much the same. It wouldn't surprise me if he starts Vardy because of his experience, and he will love playing in front of that crowd. You know that crowd are going to give him stick, yeah. And he thrives on it. Yeah. He's got the experience to deal with that kind of crowd, whereas I'm not sure that the others have.
Fans are watching, and you go into the game, please give Vardy some stick and exactly. About his misses. We love it.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think it's rare for our players to have two poor games in a row. Individually. So I'm expecting them to come out and try and put that right. But we know, and I said this last week, I think, with the likes of Mavididi, you know within the first 10, 15 minutes what kind of mood he's in. If he thinks he's got his fullback on toast, then he will go at him the whole game. The interesting bit for me will be Somerville. Because, and again, correct me if I'm wrong, Carl, but he seems to be more dangerous coming down the left.
Yeah.
And, And that's obviously where we've got Pereira, but he moves into midfield, which potentially leaves a gap in behind him, which I think Somerville could exploit. So I think that's something that we have to be very aware of.
Yeah, absolutely.
And do you think, I mean, for me, Mavadidi didn't necessarily have a bad game against Middlesbrough, but he just always seemed to have two defenders on him.
Yeah, he attracts players, so then you've got to shift it quickly and get your 1-2s off. You know, Fatawu, on the other hand, seemed to have the beating of his fullback, but his quality on the ball was off last week. Too many overhit crosses, overhit passes. You know, everybody, I don't know, you know, they definitely had a few more Weetabix, I think, in their pre-match meal because everything was like overhit or God knows what. It was just one of those games.
Yeah.
But I really hope that this is what you see from players and what their character is made of, whether they're scared to get on the ball or whether they want the ball. And I think if we can see in the first 10 minutes that if they want to get on the ball, then we'll be up for it.
I've got to ask you because, and you mentioned him earlier, and that's Dennis Pratt, a player that we all kind of love to bits, but he's had a bit of a difficult time at Leicester with injuries and being able to get in the team. I mean, I always say, you know, it's very much a bit like him and Tielemans were like Lampard and Gerrard. He never seems to be able to play well together. He's another one, like Daka when he came in. He was given his chance and he's grabbed it with both hands. Indeed, he's injured. Cashaday, who I wasn't overly impressed with, but seemed to have that slot taken in Enzo's mind, was called back to Chelsea. Pratt, I don't think he's necessarily had an awful game. For me, he stood out for me as one player that did play well against Middlesbrough. But I watch him with Fatawu, and they seem to be developing an almost Mahrez Vardy sort of understanding. You know, you're thinking like, you know, Fatu will suddenly play the ball into acres of space. You're thinking, what the hell's that? And then Pratt comes from nowhere to sort of run onto it.
Well, I think, I think it was working quite well with Ndidi as well. I think Ndidi had
Ndidi agreed, yes.
Yeah. So, what it does, you know, your winger gets the ball, your midfielder makes that run in behind. If the players don't go with him, he gets the ball slipped into him. If the players do go, then Fatawu slips inside, you know, cuts inside and tries to get a shot off. So I think that's what he tries to create on both sides. You'll see Dewsbury Hall doing it as well. They both make those runs in down the channels, trying to get a ball slipped in around the outside of the fullbacks to be able to pull it back. But if they don't get that ball, then the wingers are cutting in and trying to get a shot off. And Pratt just looks fitter. He looks leaner. Yeah. You know, it looked like under Brendan, whether he was allowing them to get unfit or whether if you know you're not going to play, you just don't put in, you know, as much work as you should do. But he's definitely leaner, looks fitter and looks up for it. You know, whether he stays again in the summer is unlikely. But at the minute, you know, he's playing very well. He's probably playing as well as he has done.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, to quote the late, great Steve Wright, an RIP mate, I did love his shows. I'm going to give you a factoid now. did you know that Dennis Pratt has never completed 90 minutes for Leicester City?
I did know that, but only because I read it today.
You read the same as I do. We knock the Mercury, but we all read it.
Yeah.
which is interesting. But no, he's taking his chance. And, you know, depending on you know, how McAteer progresses and how, you know, what indeed he's like, cause he's going to come back, not till probably April, they're saying, and then he's got to sort of get match fit. I could probably, if we go up, see Pratt maybe getting an extension, but we'll see. But like you say, I do think it is probably the same players are going to be said, right, you know, you cocked it up, go and get it right now, you know.
Yeah.
It's that time. Predict the score time. Let's go along to our esteemed guest and start and put the pressure on him. Carl, where do you see the score, or what do you see the score being?
1-0.
Oh, that was quick. Okay. So, a confident 1-0 or a scrappy goes in off somebody's arse 1-0?
No, confident 1-0. Not a scrappy ass one like we did, so...
Well, these Leeds fans, Craig, they're getting a bit confident. They're up there to be knocked down, aren't they?
They are, but to be fair, they have every right to be. You know, they haven't lost at home all season. They've won eight in the bounce, you know. I would be. If you can't be confident now, when can you be confident, is what I'd say.
Yeah.
So I think it's going to be a tough game, and I've put my scores for the prediction league, so I'm not sure, but I'm going to stick with that one. I've gone 1-1.
I saw that you had gone 1-1.
Yeah.
I thought, you know, you were copying my homework, because I actually think it will be a tight game, but I do think there'll be goals. But I have gone 5-4 to Leicester. No, my heart couldn't stand that.
I know.
I have gone for the draw again, and I have gone 2-2.
Yeah.
And if we come out of the game tomorrow night having got a draw, I will take that if you offer me that now, Craig.
Yeah, me too. I think it's just about maintaining the gap now. And if we can maintain the gap, then we go up.
Yes, yeah. Now, I just want to read this to you, Carl, and let me know your thoughts on this. Talking to Leicester Mercury, and I'm sure Craig will recognise what I'm reading here from Leicestershire Live. Leicester City edged the battle with Leeds United as the Championship best team because of how they make opponents feel inferior, Ipswich Connor Chaplin has said. City could not get the better of the Tractor Boys this season, with the two meetings between the sides both ending in a 1-1 draw, Ipswich scoring late in both. Meanwhile, Leeds have done the double over Ipswich, winning a 4-3 thriller in August before thrashing them. And you did thrash them. You absolutely made them look like a promoted side. I actually did a watch-along for that game, and I remember saying, Ipswich are going to cause us no problems if that's how they play, because they were awful. Well, you made them look awful. Let me just not say that you didn't deserve the win. You completely deserved the win. You smashed them. However, despite those results, attacking midfielder Connor Chaplin believes City are the better team because of how they make you feel better in games. What do you think about that, Carl?
Let's see when it comes back, with those words come back to him at some point. If they just don't get promoted, and he'd be like, yeah, well...
I'm sure the fact that he was being interviewed by a Leicestershire newspaper,
that's what I was thinking. He was definitely interested. You were what was set to interview him. So
I haven't checked on the is it the Post, the Yorkshire Post? I haven't
checked the Yorkshire Post. Yeah,
he's been interviewed by them and he's saying, oh, Leeds are much the better side. But
if he was interviewed by us, we would pay him to say, just tell him, like, You'll say this. You're gonna have loads of Leeds fans on you.
I did find that quite amusing, so I'll save that until the end. But yeah, I've got to say, I watched that game and I was like, I think that was before we'd played you, and you were just absolutely so hot that game. It was like untrue. Mm. Now, next up, we will end with this. You'll be pleased to know. Foot in both camps, played for both, whatever you want to call it. I'm sure there's quite a few. Craig, can you guess who I've gone for?
I you know what? I was thinking about this just before we came on air, and I thought, you've gone one of three ways. You've gone old school, you've gone legend, or you've gone a little bit, not sure. Those three would have been Alan Clark, Gary McAllister, or Jermaine Beckford. And I think, knowing you, you've probably gone Beckford, but I'm gonna edge towards McAllister.
Do you know who I might have gone for, Carl?
I think you've gone for Alan Clark. I think you have, especially with these legendary starters for both clubs. I was thinking more about Beckford as well and McAllister. and even Peltier as well, because Lee Pettifer did play for both clubs. So, yeah, I'm going to go for Alan Clark.
Well, all I will say to both of you is, if I ever go on the chase, I hope you two aren't on my team, because neither of you are right. And I've gone down the managerial route of a certain Howard Wilkinson, who I think will probably have evoke better memories for Carl than he will.
I was only born when they won the league in 1992, so you could give a bit of cut slack with that one. So yeah,
but you remember as a Leeds fan, he is a manager you look back on with
fond memories.
Yeah. Won it the last season? I think it was the last season before it became the Premier League, wasn't it?
It was, yeah. We had Cantona in our team before we saw him mention it. He was the top scorer that season, one of the top scorers for Leeds that season. So we just aged Liverpool as well. So, and Gary Speed and that team, the youngsters, yeah, Gary Speed. Yeah, look, we had those really good players back then. We really did.
Craig, he stood in as England manager, I do believe, for a game or two. And then he came to Leicester.
Yeah, for how many games, Chris?
It doesn't matter.
No, it does matter, because I'm trying to work out in what planet you decided to go for Howard Wilkinson.
Foot in both camps. Whether it's one game. Who is that? Robert Mancini. You know, if we play Manchester City, he could come up. For that, and he only played six games for us.
And how many games? How many games was Wilkinson with us?
I'm just going to look now.
Please do, because I can barely remember any.
They weren't the best games, if I'm honest with you. He's not. I don't think he's even listed down here.
No,
he was caretaker, wasn't he? I'm sure.
I mean, can you just move to the side? Because I want to see where the barrel is that you've scraped him out of.
Somehow I thought you might not guess I'd go for him.
Okay, no, I found it.
You've been searching through all your old top trumps cards.
I found it.
Only one.
He was in October 2004. He was temporarily appointed as first team coach as Leicester for the departures of Mickey Adams and Alan Clark. So he was there as a first team coach, yeah.
To be fair, there's probably someone who's emptied the bins at both clubs. You might as well have got him.
Yeah.
Excuse me, did we pay him as a manager to run the football team?
Yes, my lud.
Yeah. Therefore, you honestly, you're like a post office sub postmaster.
We have a chance to talk about legends at the club, and you come out with Howard Wilkinson.
I actually searched Howard Wilkinson. We're not on his Wikipedia page, which probably says an awful lot.
He said on his later career, he was at Leicester in 2004. That was it. He wasn't a manager, only first team coach.
Yeah, he came with Dave Bassett.
Jesus.
In October 2004, we had Dave Bassett, who had his assistant manager was Mickey Adams. Dave Bassett couldn't keep us up, so towards the end of that season, Mickey Adams took over and brought us back up. Then Mickey Adams left, and Dave Bassett, I think, who had been made director of football, came in as manager to stand in until we got a replacement. And Howard Wilkinson was his assistant. So, he was both
an assistant manager for about two games.
Four
games, sorry.
If you do
legend.
Not mind. I mean, do
what
not
a legend.
Do not play his huge part in the history of our great club down. And do you know what? We never lost when he was assistant manager.
Is that right?
We drew four games. We won none either. I will grit
you. Drew four. Only four. Yeah.
Yeah. But can you remember what manager replaced him? And Dave Bassett. That's to Craig, though. Don't panic, Carl.
Oh, I think I know. I think I can remember, actually, because we were down the same season as you lot, so.
I don't know. Martin Allen. don't know.
Yeah, I was going to say that as well. That was all the names I was thinking about.
You know, no. If it's not bad enough that you don't remember Howard Wilkinson being first team coach for four games, that you don't remember Craig Levein being our manager.
That's where I was going to go next, Craig Levein. You love Craig Levein. Amy, I tell you what, part of me thinks you only went for Howard Wilkinson so you could mention Craig Levein.
I didn't like him as a manager. I liked him as a player because he was, as a person, because he was the manager when my eldest was mascot away at Burnley, and he got him on the team coach and everything. Lovely, lovely man. The manager wasn't the right choice, but there we go. Stevie says scraping the bottom of the barrel.
No,
I don't care. I got one over on Craig. That's all that matters.
Well, now, I mean, God knows. I mean, I think we've got QPR next game. That'll be interesting.
Good luck with that one. Who are you going to find? Yes. Yeah,
I'll tell you what. If that's not Bob Hazel, I'll be very disappointed.
Look, you're the same age as me. I thought you'd remember these players. Carl, it's been a pleasure having you on. Thank you very much. And hopefully see you Monday night at 9. Tell me, or tell everybody that's watching, obviously your channels are on here as well. So if you are a Leicester fan, get over to Carl's channels and give him some support and subscribe to him. Where can they do that, Carl?
Yeah, you can find me at the Totally Leave It and Horn Football Podcast on YouTube, as well as on Twitter at LH Football Pod. You can find it on our podcast services as well on our YouTube channel, as well as Apple, Google, and other platform services. And you can follow us on Instagram as well, at LH Football Pod as well.
I would wish you all the best, but I don't mean it. I hope we still.
I know.
But unfortunately, I don't think we will. I do think that it will be a very tight game, and I would take a point now. Carl, thanks very much for coming on, mate. All the best, and take care, buddy.
Cheers. Thank you very much.
Cheers, Carl. Cheers, good luck in the playoffs.
Well,
he's a silent assassin.
Don't say that to us at the end of the season if you do drop out. And when
I know.
We'll
both I know. Worst nightmare, that remind you. Worst nightmare.
Carl, mate, I
do think you've got the best chance of coming up with us, so. Good luck, mate.
Exactly. Right. Taking, boys. Have a good week. Have a good night. Yeah.
Take care, buddy. Bye-bye.
Take care.
Right. Okay. So, how you did not get Howard Wilkinson?
Jesus. I could have been here all night and I wouldn't have come up with Howard Wilkinson.
I got him. Yes, I finally got him.
I think you got everyone. You even got Howard Wilkinson. If you'd have asked him... He wouldn't have come up with him.
Probably true. Probably. Yeah. And then, like you say, it did give me a chance to talk about Craig Levein as well. Yeah. But there we go. So Bournemouth up on Tuesday. I hope he takes it seriously, whatever happens against Leeds, because, like I say, at the start of the season, I was very much like, all right, look, if we're in the cup, we're in the cup. I want to win every game. Of course I do. But promotion is the priority, and it still is. But we are literally, like I say, one game away from the quarterfinals. Although we'd probably get Chelsea if they beat Leeds, or we'll get Man City. You know what our looks like. But look, you never know. And it's away from home. I'm sat, thanks to yourself, where I was sat with when we played last game I went to, which was at. Dean Court of Vitality Stadium. Right. But last time I was surrounded by a load of Bournemouth fans, so I couldn't cheer when Vardy got his 11.
Yeah.
Melina is in. Good evening, Melina. It's been a long, long time. How are you doing? Hopefully get to see you soon when you come over. Is it March when you come over? I can't remember now. But have a safe flight over. Thank you very much for popping in, and thank you very much for your donation. Not without you in the Prem. See you back next season. Only so you can come and get some of our players. That's all you want. You know, you say when I say come and get them, be linked with them. You know,
they want to beat us mid-season and celebrate winning the league.
Yeah. I don't think she can take her money back. But thank you, Melina. Thank you very much. Craig, where can everybody find you, sir?
Yeah, just follow me on Twitter at Craig Bird.
That's the easiest way. I get over there and ask him about Howard Wilkinson. What do you remember? Name the four games that Howard Wilkinson was first king coach for. you won't know the answer. He'll go off and check now. Thanks for everything you did this week as well, mate.
Welcome, mate.
I appreciate it. And take care, and I will see you next week.
Cheers, mate. Bye, everyone.
Cheers. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. So join me tomorrow night when I'm going to be joined by one or two people for the Match Day Watch Along, Match Day Live, Friday, 7:15. It's an 8 o'clock kickoff. I know Craig didn't want to commit to his bum being squeaky, but mine definitely is. Cheers, Craig. Thank you very much, as always. So if you are new, if you are watching on the Lee's channel, please do give us a subscribe. It really does help the channel. And also, click that like button. And if you have been listening on your favorite podcast platform, thank you for listening. Thank you for lending me your ears. Like I say, we'll be back tomorrow night at 7:15 tomorrow night, which means I can't do my radio show. Typical football. I am nervous. God knows what I'll be like tomorrow. But thank you to everybody who's come in. Thank you to Melina for popping in from Canada at the end there and for a donation. Really is appreciated. Thanks to everybody else that's been in. Do appreciate it. And like I say, thanks to everybody that has been listening as well. There'll be no watch along, just to let you know, for the Bournemouth game. Hopefully we'll be doing a match day vlog because I will be at the ground. But until then, see you tomorrow night. Good night.
Thanks for watching. These videos are tremendous. You better like them too, or I'll be back.
The TalkSport Fan Network is the ultimate on-demand destination for the UK's best fan-led football podcasts.
Including Leicester Till I Die, independent analysis and reaction for the Foxes faithful.
The TalkSport Fan Network.
Unbeatable club-dedicated content created by the fans, for the fans.
Follow the podcast on the TalkSport Fan Network.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates are around. You've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.